p.m. Dr. Mitchell, will you please do roll call?
Yes. Kerry Chen has notified me that he is running a few minutes late. He'll be joining us for closed session. Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
Angelina Pride?
Present.
David Malkin?
Present.
Donna Friedman?
Here. Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
There is a correction to the agenda for the regular board meeting of August 14th, 2019. There is a correction memo for you at your place setting. It is for consent on our consent calendar. It is item 7, B as in boy, 1, subcontract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Rancho Santiago Community College. The financial impact was not thorough. The financial impact is revised to read not to exceed $1.1 million from the district general fund. The K-12 Strong Workforce Program Pathway Improvement Grant provides the district with $542,620 in funding. So for the board, this is a matching grant. It's $2 from district dollars, $1 for grant dollars.
Okay, may I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Wednesday, August 14, 2019, with the change?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda with noted change.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments in closed session items?
None have been received.
Okay, we will recess to closed session at 4:31 p.m.
Me too. Where's the sea of blue? I don't see a sea of blue. I see a few people.
She's got red.
Yeah. It's not that many CSEA people here. Yeah. No, you're still responsible for the whole district. You can't just stay in your little part. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to knock out.
Good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:08 p.m. We're sorry that we're late. Okay, all in attendance will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by President of the Association of Roland Educators, ARE, by Shay Lohman.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There is no closed session report tonight. Next, we are going to move to board recognitions. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I would like to ask Dr. Zamora to please come to the podium and for the board to please step down and we can recognize a few of our scholars.
Thank you. There you go. So tonight we want to honor some of our students who went abroad to study. This summer we had 3 Nogales students and 5 Roland High School students participate in a 3-week Global Navigator High School Study Abroad program. Students applied to study in various subjects such as world government, Chinese or Spanish, language and culture, theater arts, and music. Besides their routine studies, they also participated in guided excursions and studied the country's culture through language, meals, and customs with their host family. Tonight, we will recognize some students, and we also have some folks here that will speak about their experience. We have Ella Katiding. I hope I said your name correctly. Ella. And we also have Pavisuda Chatong Hong. Is Pavisuda here? Okay. She's going to share a few. Yes. Ella's going to speak a little bit about her experience, and then we will recognize our other students.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to talk about my experience at CIEE. So at first, I was really scared about it, especially since I was like a freshman in high school. But when they advertised it in my third period, I was really interested into it, especially since like I grew up like being so interested in traveling, and it would be an experience to travel all alone without my parents. So, and the only program I was interested in was the theater arts behind the scenes, which was in London. And I've never been to London at the time, and I was really excited. So I applied to it, because why not? And I ended up getting the scholarship. And it was really exciting but nerve-wracking when I arrived there. We basically, in my time there, we met like different people from all over the States, and most of them were all older than me. I was like one of the only freshmen there, and we went to theater stuff. Like, we went to the Shakespeare Globe Theater, and we saw West End productions. It was really interesting and a fun experience. So overall, I had a really great time.
From Roland, we also have Melody Dao, who studied Chinese language and culture in China. Is Melody here? Come on up. And Valeria Giron, who studied Spanish language and culture in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And representing Nogales High School, we have Luisa Chen, who studied Chinese language and culture in Shanghai, China. Congratulations to all of them. I don't see any other students.
Okay, now this one. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Good job.
I would like to recognize and thank the Association of Roland Educators, ARE, members for providing the refreshments at tonight's board meeting. Shay Lohman from the Association of Roland Education, ARE, will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on in their organization.
So I'll keep it brief
Shay, I'm sorry, I turned the mic off. Can you hit the mic and turn it on?
There we go.
Thank you.
First off, just good evening to the board, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you.
Cabinet, the community, our CSCA family out there, out here in Forest. Excellent. Special shout out to the building services guys out there. The schools are great to get the school year open, and thank you very much for the hard work there. So thank you for that. My name is Shay Lohman. I am currently in my sixth and final, I promise, year of being the president of the Association of Rowan Educators. It's been an awesome, awesome experience, and looking forward to this final year and just doing great work with some great leaders for public education. So just to kind of begin, we're a union. That's what we are. We're a union. We represent the 700-plus certificated staff of the Rowan Unified School District, teachers, nurses, counselors, psychologists, the social workers, speech and language pathologists, et cetera. So if you look, there's a quote by Samuel Gompers, a famous trade unionist, who said, "Where trade unions are the most firmly organized, there the rights of the people are most respected." And we really do believe that. The trade unions have done amazing things for our country and have built a strong middle class over the years and have just done awesome things, like even bringing things like the weekend and even looking at things like universal and free public education. We're a champion by labor unions. So our union is extremely involved. You can see the Red for Ed movement that swept the nation, bringing attention to public education. We're involved in coming to school board meetings. Our teachers get involved in social justice issues, funding issues when it comes to public education. So you can see different pictures from different school sites with just our different members. We have a great outreach to other unions that might be, this was like when Yuba City was going on strike, and sending support and unity to them. Having a great relationship with CSCA there. This is at one of their barbecues that take place. And we do belong to CTA, the California Teachers Association, where we really organize together and do things. Our members pay about $1,200 a year in dues. They do belong to three organizations at one time. They belong to our local association, the Association of Rowan Educators. They belong to the state organization, the California Teachers Association, and then the national organization, the National Education Association. And you can see kind of where those dues money get broken up and how we belong to those different groups. The NEA is one of the largest labor unions in the world, the largest in the country. They advocate for public education and labor-friendly policies at the federal level. One of the examples of a piece of legislation that the NEA fights hard for is something called the Social Security offset. Many of our members that are second career educators cannot collect Social Security that they've paid into and earn. And this is a loophole that really does need to be fixed and something that the NEA fights for. The California Teachers Association, that's our state body, they advocate for just strong public education policy at the statewide level. They help protect our collective bargaining and due process rights through staff member work and representation. They provide legal representation and liability insurance to our members. And they've been instrumental in the passage of numerous funding initiatives and just good public education policy over the years. And then locally, the Association of Rowan Educators protects our contract on a day-to-day basis. We lobby and assist in getting great school boards elected and getting involved at local politics at the local level. We do act as the exclusive bargaining representative for our teachers. So we are currently bargaining, and we sit at the bargaining table representing that group. We have a 98% membership rate, and that's even growing. And then recently, along with our CSCA family, have joined the Los Angeles County Labor Federation and are now members of the AFL-CIO. So there you go there. We do have five key goals through the year, and just real quickly, we want to keep strong membership. We want to bargain a contract that recruits and retains the best educators and provides good working and learning conditions. We will, and this is out there, we will be looking to endorse two school board candidates. We do have a great school board, but there will be a school board election coming up next November, so we'll be talking to our school board members, and that'll be one of our goals this year. But also to look at, there's a funding initiative in 2020 called the Schools and Communities First Initiative, and we'll be looking and talking to the community about the importance of that this year as well. You've heard us talk before, and we're going to continue to advocate for effective student discipline and safety plans, And then finally, we met Amy. Amy's an awesome vice president, but I also mentioned it is my final year, so it's also time to be recruiting another vice president that could potentially come in maybe next year as Amy maybe potentially takes over the association. And then that's what we're looking at. So thank you guys very much. We're looking forward to a fantastic school year. And just thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Shay. And Dr. Mitchell's going to announce two more students that came.
I do, and I can do it as part of my board. So I want to recognize we have two of our students who have studied abroad this summer that I want to recognize, and I'll bring them forward, and perhaps you and I can go and take a picture with them. But we have Doris Fong, student at Nogales High School, and Doris studied world government in Belgium. And we also have Gladys Fong, also a student at Nogales High School, who studied Spanish language and culture in Madrid, Spain. So Doris and Gladys, can you come forward, please? No, it's perfect. It's perfect. That's fine. Do you want to do?
Okay, I'll do.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Next is the superintendent's report by Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And so our school year is off and running. We've had a very smooth start to the year. I've had the pleasure of visiting 14 of our 19 school sites so far, visiting classrooms and connecting with our staff. I have to say our facilities and our classrooms look magnificent. Our staff has been very eager to greet our students, and our students have been raring to go. So it was very exciting for all of us as district office staff all out at the schools in these first few days of school, helping and supporting our school-based staff. And I know we do have a number of folks that are here from our grounds team and from our maintenance team, and just thank you for all of the work that you did this summer making sure that our schools were ready to go. And I know Alex is going to present and share some more detailed information, but it really I know, and I shared this when we spoke right before the school year started, I know many of you had given up time with your families to make sure that our students were welcomed to campuses that were ready to greet them and prepared for to lead them in their best learning. So thank you for all of your efforts in doing so. So our enrollment numbers, we're still sifting them through. So on Monday, we were prepared to welcome 13,099 students, and that number continues to fluctuate a little bit. And so our students arrived with a variety of different welcome activities from, you know, red carpets and blue carpets and cheering. But in the classroom, our teachers are doing a fabulous job getting to know our students as people first and then as learners, and really having our students come running back for day two and day three and day four and all the way through day 180, which will take us to June of 2020. I wanted to share as well with our new employees. We recognized our new employees at our district welcome back, which was held last Thursday. Also, our human resources department and working with Gina Ward have our new employees on our marquee out front, and their names are there to welcome them and introduce them to our community as well. And so thank you for that joint effort in recognizing our new employees. And on the construction front, Roland High School is nearing completion of its revitalization project, and we'll be inviting the community in mid-October to tour the new buildings and the campus. For the next few weeks, we do have the parking lot is being finished, and so that is closed, and we are in the process of finishing that, having that paved, striped, and ready for visitors. And so stay tuned for the unveiling of Roland High School. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we will move to the student board representatives' reports. On behalf of the board, we just want to say thank you ahead of time for coming. Very nice. The school just started, and it's great to see you guys. Okay, Luz Martinez, Santana High School, ASB member, will provide a report. She's not here. She's not back there. Okay. Okay, then we will receive a report from Brianna Lopez, Nogales High School, ASB senior class president.
Good evening, Madam President, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the board, and the audience. My name is Brianna Lopez, Nogales High School's senior class president. We are on to a great start at Nogales High School. During the last week of July and the first of August, we held registration for all of our students to come and pick up their schedules and their books and their packets and all that. We got to greet a lot of returning faces and meet many wonderful freshmen. The class of 2023 is already feeling the pride of being in a Noble. Our first day of school, Green Day, ASB students and our cheerleading squad welcome all those coming in through our gates with posters, balloons, and music. Students and staff were given Noble pens and small Noble notebooks to make sure their day started off right. We have a lot of fun and educated plans for this coming school year. This Friday, to kick off in a great way, the ASB is inviting all students that wear Noble gear to attend an after-school dance in our manner. The class of 2020 has already finished their senior wall, our theme being Back to the Future, year 2020. Next Friday, in preparation for our first football game, which will be Green Out, the senior class will be up in the stadium for our first annual sunrise, whereas one we will celebrate our last year as Nobles. Our band has been preparing all summer, and every morning we hear them rehearsing. This year, they will be representing us at Linden, and we could not be prouder. All of our fall sports have begun practice, and we are sure that not only will we win Battle of the Tracks, but we will also make it to CIF. That is all from the best high school in America.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Liang, Roland High School ASB Speaker of the House, will provide a report next.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Liang, and I'm the student representative for Roland High School. Although Monday was the first day of the 2019 through 2020 school year, Roland has been very busy over the summer. The majority of our sports team continued to have practices and games over the summer. The performing arts programs began learning new routines for the upcoming year, and ASB prepared for next year's activities. On July 30th, all incoming ninth graders were able to attend a freshman orientation, where they spent getting to know their classmates, took ID and yearbook pictures, picked up their schedule and books, and found their lockers. As the students were learning about Roland High School, so were their parents. Parents had orientation on the school as well, as specialized classes like student activities, emotional assistance, assistance on ARIES. The remaining part of the week focused on the other classes with makeup day on Monday, August 5th. On the first day of school, August 12th, we held our annual tradition of having our senior class all come and watch the sunrise together to symbolize the beginning of their last year in high school. I believe that the seniors had a fantastic time at the senior sunrise, eating Krispy Kreme donuts and juice, taking pictures with their friends at the photo ops, and as well as writing letters to their future selves that they will get back at senior sunset at the end of the year. In addition, on that same day, our school continued the tradition of holding a no backpack day. During this day, the students were split into groups by last name and grade, and were able to learn about the three reader goals, school rules, social-emotional intelligence, counseling specific to grade level, mind and body exercises, and had an assembly on the school culture. The lessons that were taught had activities and real-life lessons. Yesterday was a successful transition into the second day of school, August 13th, where official schedules were distributed starting from 6:30 a.m. in the morning in our new hideout. The facility will be bright and sunny, and us students are very excited to host many of our future events in this facility. The Welcome Back Assembly will take place this Friday, August 16th. The theme for the assembly is Toy Story 4, and the motto is Be a Better Raider Today. We will show how students can incorporate their Raider goals into everyday school activities, highlighting the dance, cheer, drumline, choir programs, as well as introduce all the 60-ish clubs on campus and the new teachers. On August 29th, IBA will be hosting the first of three City of Hope blood drives. Please stop by if you would like to donate blood at any time. Club Fair Day is on August 30th, which will be held during lunch in our beautiful new quad area. During the showcase, students will be able to see the wide variety of clubs that Roland High School offers, and will have the opportunity to join clubs that spark their interest, from service, culture, hobbies, and academic to sports. Our athletic program is hosting the fall parental meeting tonight, where parents can meet with the fall coaches to get all the important information regarding playing a fall sport. Our fall sports will begin to play next week with the home games, with our volleyball and football games starting off. There will be an alumni volleyball game this Thursday at the gym, and our first home football game will be next Friday, August 23rd. Starting off September, ASB will be attending a leadership bonding at Camp Surf YMCA from the 2nd to the 3rd. We hope to teach and educate our members on how to be efficient and unified leaders while creating lasting bonds as a group. September 4th marks the beginning of the homecoming dance festivities, where we will be revealing the theme. Back to school night will be taking place on September 5th, where all parents, students, and administration will be welcome to tour the new campus and meet with our teachers and staff. There will be an in-and-out fundraiser on Friday, September 6th, after school at Roland High School. On September 13th, the second senior event of the year, Senior Barbecue, will take place. Seniors will be able to enjoy barbecue, snacks, and drinks, as well as get the opportunity to vote for their homecoming court. As the year goes by, I look forward to updating and speaking about Roland High School and its many activities throughout the year. Our Roland Raiders are provided with many opportunities where they can think, communicate, and contribute. Thank you for your time.
Lee, thank you so much. On behalf of the board, we want to thank you for all those activities. Wow, you guys are doing a lot. Next, we will have two staff reports. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. Thank you. So our first staff report this evening is a facilities update. And so Alex Flores is going to share with the board much of the work that has taken place over the course of the summer in preparation for welcoming back our students for the 19-20 school year.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Good evening, Board President Friedman, Vice President Melkin, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet and audience. Thank you for allowing me to make a presentation on summer facility projects. This task was difficult for me tonight. It was like returning from a vacation and not being able to reduce the amount of pictures that I needed to print because there were so many great things that happened at our school district. We did outstanding work. We did outstanding work, and we also want to thank the board for supporting this work by making this one of your goals in your board for having top-notch facilities for our students and our community. And although we highlight the great facility department tonight, we had many awesome staff members throughout this district working this summer, like the HR staff under Dennis Bixler, staffing our schools, teachers and aides and support staff working summer school, our nutrition service department feeding our students and community over the summer, our transportation department planning and preparing our planning routes and preparing our buses so our students would see clean buses and safe buses the first day, our technology department, imaging, thousands of computers, our Ed Services team that was under Dr. Zamora planning for the instructional program for the entire year. We have a lot of great employees in our district, and for everyone that worked this summer, if they can stand, Cabinet would like to recognize you. Please stand if you worked this summer. Ed Services, you work too. As you can see, on the third day of school, these dedicated staff members are here for this board meeting. Again, tonight we will highlight some of the many summer projects. We have separated them into three categories: maintenance and operations, facility bond, and energy conservation projects. We have 32 maintenance and operations staff led by one director and three supervisors. During the summer, June 10th through August 9th, they completed 711 work orders. These projects ranged from in-house painting projects consuming over 60 gallons of paint to over 7,200 square feet of roof were restored during the summer. Remember the ACE program when it rained and some of you were preparing those leaky roofs? Well, we took care of them this summer. The largest in-house project this summer was the conversion of a vacant graphic art room at Nogales to a state-of-the-art medical lab. This project was led by Chris Ferraro and used electrical, plumbers, carpenters, painters, maintenance workers, and HVAC technician trades. The maintenance department relished this challenge and were very happy with the end result, and so are we. Our staff always rises to the challenge to benefit our students on a daily basis. The preconditions, as you can see, this was an art room that had not been used for several years and became a storage room. It quickly began transforming when our skilled employees began to showcase their talent and skills. This was a complete transformation, not just floor to ceiling, but below the floor with new electrical runs for the medical beds, and above the ceiling with new HVAC ducts and LED lighting. Our students, will benefit from the state-of-the-art room as they prepare for possible future careers in the medical field. We plan to have the maintenance and operations staff that worked on this project to visit during the year so they can see the direct impact they had with our students. We also created a medical lab at Roland. We had just modernized the classroom, and we only needed to install a sink for the transformation. But as we expect our kids to be problem solvers, our staff are problem solvers too. And they found and tapped into existing plumbing and were able to create a sink quite quickly. So this is our new state-of-the-art medical lab at Roland. I would say our M&O, they scored a touchdown. If we were playing football and received the ball on the 20, they would have enough concrete laid of 80 yards to have scored a touchdown. We laid over 80 yards of concrete. To visualize it, look at that football field. We're scoring touchdowns with our staff. Northern Elementary had an additional concrete slab to extend the walking area. Also, the board had a large investment for emergency supplies, so we wanted to protect that investment. So what came from within the department working with also risk management was, let's lay concrete so that we can protect that bin and we can protect what's in it so in the case it's ever needed. So this summer, there was a lot of concrete work for our bins. It also gives us time to do corrections. Last year, we had a correction with one of our walkways. So this summer, we're able to, when no students are there, be able to correct the walkway so to avoid any possible injury in the future. We had three schools painted. Again this summer, the exterior of three school sites were painted. We have painted 9 school sites in the past three years. Although we use contractors, our district painters went every day to the site being painted to make sure the work is being done to our high district standard with the proper materials and process. Corrections were made when needed by the contractor directed by our staff. These projects average 800 gallons of paint and primer per site. The cost of Jellicoe was $44,000. Shelling was $39,000. And Romer was $41,000. New fencing was also installed. Roland High School baseball field had a safety feature added, a warning track. And we can't forget the home run fence. I think the kids will say we hit a home run on their field with this improvement. We had a challenge this summer with deep cleaning with the 65 wonderful custodians that we have. We had a challenge because Dr. Mitchell's vision of having multiple opportunities for our students to have extended learning opportunities was reached this year with having a dual sessions of summer school. Also, to make it more difficult, Dr. Zamora brought aboard an onboarding program for all our 7th and 9th graders so that the transition could be made much easier for our 7th graders and our 9th graders at our schools this year. So we had to work around their schedules. And our staff, again, they rise to the occasion. And it's not just the 1,328,295 square feet of flooring that was cleaned this summer, because we do much more when it comes to deep cleaning. But yes, the floor stripping and refinishing is labor intensive. To remove the old floor finish and recoat with new layers, a total of 101 gallons of wax remover and 280 gallons of new floor finish were used. Our NPRs received 8 coats of wax. Carpet extraction was done for all classrooms utilizing a pre-spray solution, as well as extracting clean solution. Furniture is either removed or moved to one side and then returned so that all carpet is fully deep cleaned. A total of 240 gallons of carpet cleaning solution was used. All surface of desks, chairs, tables, and walls in classrooms are cleaned with gum and stain removers. Chairs and desks are repaired as necessary. Light fixtures and lenses are fully wiped and cleaned. Whiteboard rails, doors, kick plates, windows, and sills are clean. All restrooms are fully clean. Other tasks include power washing exterior buildings and concrete, removing gum, planter boxes, assembly picnic tables, and minor repairs as needed. It's not just the 1,328,296 square feet of wax and floor that's painted or cleaned. It's all these other items. They are working. As you can see through the results, this is the classroom that our students return to. This is that 8-coated waxed NPR that our students will receive some delicious nutrition service meals. We also have facility bond projects. This summer, facility bond projects were overseen by Marco Rodriguez. These projects range from paving, fencing, classroom acoustics, Roland High School bond work, and Oswald pre-construction bond work. Approximately 80,000 square feet of asphalt paving was removed and replaced at the west, east, and kindergarten playgrounds, the drop-off driveways, and the entire staff parking at Hollingworth. This project cost $222,900. We plan ahead when we do these paving projects. So we plan for a possible marquee, installed electrical and data pathways were installed for the new, so that new pavement would not be affected in the future. Approximately 72,000 square feet of asphalt paving was removed and replaced at the north, south, kindergarten playground, along with the entire staff parking lot at Jellick. This project cost $205,900. When doing projects like this, we incorporate corrections to improve the function and appearance in the area of the project. For example, the damaged outer vehicle gates and fence of the southwest and the kindergarten building were replaced. Approximately 11,000 square feet of asphalt were removed and replaced at the Villa Corta drop-off driveway and parking lot. Over the past 3 years, over 9 school sites have had new paving and also the old paving removed, either at their parking lot or in their playgrounds. A new wrought iron fence was installed in the front of the administration building and building B at Shellen. This was a two-stage project with office storefront reconfiguration being completed over the winter break. During this project, we added irrigation supply lines and valves to our four tree planter boxes in front of the B building. Prior to this, the day custodian needed to water the plant manually. After working with an acoustic engineer last year, a solution for a better sound quality was found for the S building at Oswald. Working with vendors, the solution was tested by outfitting room 4 with the recommended correction. Before retrofitting all classrooms, teachers in the S building taught a period in room 4 to get their input. The necessary hardware for mounting of the acoustic panels in the remaining 9 classrooms in building S were installed over the summer. The custom-made panels will be installed once they are received. Our first shipment will be delivered in September. They are a long lead time item. As you can see from this picture, this is what the classrooms will look at Oswald S building with all the sound panels on the ductwork and on the walls. Roland High School addition entered its final phase this summer. The quad was completed. The NPR was also completed. As you can see from this picture, as of last week or the last CBOC meeting, it didn't have the sound boards, but the sound boards had been installed, so the quality of the sound is much better in the NPR at Roland. And the kitchen is fully functional. The band and choir room were also completed, and the only thing remaining are the custom sound panels that still need to be installed. Unfortunately, not all was completed as planned. Only 55% of the parking lot was paved by the first day of school. We have some updates from when I updated Dr. Mitchell earlier. We would like to add that 100% of the base material has been installed with the proper compactor readings. And this morning at 7 a.m., the first of the remaining asphalt was being laid. As of this evening, all paving has been laid except with the exception of one service road. The two classrooms near the parking lot were impacted by the work being done in the parking lot and are scheduled to be completed next week. They're still not open, the two classrooms by the parking lot. The theater is scheduled to be completed by the end of September. Although these two items were not completed, this has been a very successful project. Since this project still remains under budget, did you hear that? Under budget. Dr. Mitchell wants me to spend the money. And she has challenged me to work with WLC to find some shade structures for the quad. As we know, the board would want to have some comfortable quad for our students. And a meeting has been scheduled with WLC and leadership at Roland High School for next Tuesday to review what possibilities we have. You finish one project, you got to get to the next. With Oswald project plans submitted to DSA and waiting for approval, along with approved DSA interim housing plans, work began this summer at Oswald for our next project. The pre-construction work is vital to meet the compressed timeline we hope for this project. Fire department access gate was installed at the lower staff parking per the fire inspector's request for upcoming interim housing installation. Center concrete stairways at the east slope of campus off Creekside Drive was removed and demolished. Removal of these stairs were mandated by DSA as a condition of approval of the upcoming project. And overhead temporary low voltage signals and fire alarm pathways were installed to provide uninterrupted service during the upcoming project. We also completed work with our energy modernization program. The district-wide upgrade of interior and exterior lighting system with LED technology to reduce energy consumption and enhance the learning environment of all remaining district sites was completed this summer. Although the contract called for 10,630 components of lighting replaced, Climatech replaced 13,565 components with no additional cost to the district. HVAC infrastructure across 70 sites with the new highly efficient HVAC units to improve classroom comfort and reduce M&O expenditures was completed this summer. A total of 155 air conditioners were replaced with this project. With new LED lighting, comfortable air conditioning classrooms, and with the wonderful and caring teachers, you have a great first day of school, as these pictures show. Although six NPRs will receive air conditioning within the next months, demolition and abatement of the existing boilers and equipment was completed this summer. DSA approved the inspector of record that was approved at the last board meeting this morning, just this morning. We needed to work with DSA to describe the work in detail because they had requested double the amount of inspectors on site. We have planned to phase the work to minimize inspection and testing costs. The gyms and Roland High School are scheduled in the first phase. As we know, this was a high priority for our board and for Dr. Mitchell. We highlighted our maintenance department, our facilities, and all the projects. All of those take a lot of money and a lot of resources. And there are people behind the scenes that help us make sure we get the best cost and that we do everything correctly. And that's our purchasing department, because our paving projects and our painting also required bids. So the work you see out front, there's so much work behind for a successful work. All these projects, the paving require a job walk, require a bids to go out. That is prepared by the awesome staff of purchasing under the direction of Roseanne McLeod. And because of that, it ensures us that we get the best cost and the work is done completely and correctly. So we would like to highlight them and the faces behind that sometimes we don't see. And because the board and Dr. Mitchell want the best facilities for our students, we spend money. And the fiscal department has to do extra work. And sometimes we have overtime, and sometimes we have extra pay. So our payroll is working over. And all summer they're making sure, because when you have to pay, you have to make sure you close the books too. And there's a lot more invoices because of all the work that we're doing here to benefit our community and benefit our students. With that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
I just have a comment. These schools look better than I've seen them in a long time. And although people ask, well, where do you spend so much money for the schools to look good? That's not the most important thing. It's very important for taxpayers to have their schools look good so neighborhood and housing prices go up. So the first thing Alex can do is help us with the way our schools look. There were a lot of complaints years ago about the curb appeal of our campuses, and I think you'll all agree that our campuses are looking fabulous. There's still work to do, but they've really done a great job. And thank you for everybody that's here tonight and those who couldn't come for all the work you do.
Angelina?
I ditto what Ms. Ebbingkamp said, and I especially happy that you recognize the people behind the scenes, because I live across the street from one school within two blocks of two others, and I've seen all the facility staff out there. And I want to give you guys kudos too, because you guys never woke me up. But the schools do look really, really great. And but I'm happy that you did recognize the people behind the scenes who also worked so hard to make it happen, and including yourself for all the hard work that you put in. So thank you guys, all of you, and those that aren't here as well.
David?
Yeah, I'm just thinking what it takes me to keep my house working. I can't imagine 19 different sites as well as all these ancillary sites. And I agree with what Ms. Pride and Ms. Ebbenkamp said, that our schools look so good every time I go on to them. And they just look fabulous. And I really appreciate that as a resident of the community, knowing that our school district, puts its best foot forward. So I really appreciate that. Last Saturday, I drove by Roland High School, and it was like 100 degrees outside, and they had asphalt trucks lined up on Otterbein there. And the staff was out there, with the steamrollers and rolling that asphalt in that hot weather. It was just unbelievable. And that was on a Saturday. And to see our dedicated employees doing that, trying to get it ready, for when the, students come back and the teachers, it was really heartwarming to see that. I'd also like to, behind the scenes, also mention the CBOC for Roland High School. Their work and guidance in keeping us on target, with that bond also. But like Angelina said, it's we need a leader. And thank you, Alex, for being that leader.
Carrie?
Yeah, it was a hot summer and working under the sun and under the temperatures very, very challenging. So thank you for the good work you have done. And I have a question about the classrooms. And I see you deep clean the carpets and the floors. And that's very important. When the first day the kids come to school, we have the clean classroom. And do you do it every year or every year or every room or how?
Every year we deep clean the entire district in the summer. District, huh? Yeah. And then also we schedule during the year, during the breaks, also like the MPRs that get multiple use hallways, so that we buff and wax those areas too. So, yeah, we're constantly working on our facilities, but the summer is when you get the most deep cleaning where everything is
touched.
Besides
deep cleaning, do you, some classroom, when you collect the carpet, do you put new carpet or the new?
Yeah, sometimes we have to replace the carpet, and sometimes we have to extract two or three times.
Right.
And we have to go back and do that. But yes, mm-hmm. our carpet is replaced when we see that it's not in a condition that would be good for our kids.
Okay.
Then we do replace.
Good. And the question is the CTE medical facility you build a new one. Do you need to meet those medical requirements? Use their standard, or I see those medical beds in there. So do you need to meet the medical?
No. So from an instructional standpoint, we did. So we wanted to be able to simulate a hospital setting
mm-hmm.
and a doctor's office setting. And so our maintenance and operations team had to put in additional electrical outlets and space and so forth so that we could operate the all of the equipment so mm-hmm. that we could simulate a medical office or a hospital room setting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I just say one other thing? I'll make it quick. When I was talking about the importance of our schools looking good, probably the most important part of that is that children feel proud of their schools when they go to a school that looks nice. Because some of our kids don't have nice homes, but if their schools look nice, they have something to be proud of.
So they say a picture says 1,000 words, and you can see all the hard work that you guys have done. The schools look fabulous, and just want to say thank you so much for all your hard work. A lot of people behind the scenes and in action and overseeing everything, that all your hard work paid off, and we're proud of all the work that we see. And when we go on campuses, it's just like beautiful. So just want to say thank you.
Yeah, I just need to say I really appreciate all the nice words. Everyone deserves it over there, but it all starts with the commitment that you as the board has and Dr. Mitchell too, because we have great staff members here and they're up for the challenge and they're given the opportunity to be able to shine and do the things they want to do is best for kids. And it's because you approve those items that allows us to do this. So on behalf of everyone in maintenance operation, we thank you for you making this a priority also. Thank you.
So we have a second second staff report, which is on our nutrition program. So I would like our Director of Nutrition Services, Maria Davila, to come forward, and she will share with us some updates, program updates that we have in Nutrition Services.
Good evening, and I apologize ahead of time for reading, but that's how I get through it. I'm happy to be here to present updates on the district's nutrition services meal programs, including information on changes that occurred during the 18-19 school year, including current legislation that affects the child nutrition program and progress of the community eligibility provision. Nutrition Services continues to serve healthy and tasty meals each day. During the 18-19 school year, we served just under 600,000 breakfasts, 1.5 million lunches, and 114,500 snacks to roll-in USD students. This summer, we participated in the Seamless Summer Meals Program, serving both students and children in the community a total of 51,736 meals. New this summer, the program featured a traveling barbecue lunch where Nutrition Services staff served up a special meal complete with a grilled burger for all students. The Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program is a federal grant program managed by the California Department of Education. During the 18-19 school year, this grant was implemented at two Roland schools, Hurley Elementary and Rohmer Elementary. As part of the grant, fresh fruit and vegetable snacks are offered at least three times per week during morning break. The department intentionally chose to offer items that are not commonly offered as part of the regular menu, due mainly to the complexity of preparation and holding properties of the items. With the fruit and vegetable program, students had the opportunity to try a variety of new items like Kiwano melon, yam sticks, dragon fruit, and rambutan. Students at both schools have been receptive to the items offered, and we experienced minimal amounts of produce left over each day. A main component of this program is nutrition education, and school staff and administration have greatly supported the program by promoting participation. Student excitement for the fruit and vegetable program has been maintained as teachers expand nutrition lessons around the produce item of the week in the classroom. In addition, Nutrition Services hosted nutrition education assemblies with information and samples on a variety of fruit and vegetables. For the 19-20 school year, the grant has been expanded to two additional schools, Northam Elementary and Yorbita Elementary. In the 18-19 school year, the department began its food donation program, placing share bins in all school cafeterias for all consumable, non-perishable food items left by students. These items are collected and packaged for pickup by a local food bank. No food service program can succeed without its team members, and the Nutrition Services supports success by providing ongoing professional development in the areas of school nutrition and safety and sanitation. Staff wellness was a focus at both the September and January professional development opportunities where healthy recipes and good nutrition were highlighted. We continue to provide monthly training opportunities with kitchen monitoring and training modules provided by department staff every month. Nutrition Services implemented breakfast at Oswald Academy on March 4, 2019, which was the first day of school breakfast week, and that wasn't planned. It just happened that way. So breakfasts were promoted with a contest where classes competed to have the highest breakfast participation. The winning classes participated in a yogurt parfait party. Due to popular demand, breakfast at Oswald Academy continues into the 19-20 school year. Nutrition Services strives to update menu items frequently, looking at market trends and tailoring those trends to meet strict school meal guidelines. As part of the process, menu planners observe student acceptability of food items based on purchase habits, plate waste, and student and staff feedback. We monitor meal participation trends and determine whether various entrees should be pulled from the menu. The focus during the 18-19 school year was on the intermediate and high school menus. Recipe development, monitoring of food preparation and holding, and finally student taste testing was conducted throughout the school year. New lunch items were introduced each semester at the secondary schools. including popular items such as the Western Burger, chili mac and cheese, shrimp tacos, and a variety of specialty entree salads and wraps. Breakfast menus were also updated to include fruit smoothies and scratch-prepared entrees. At the elementary schools, in addition to testing scratch-prepared menu items, the focus was on improving the look of the student salad bars. The salad bar menu was expanded, and the salad bars were updated to showcase new fresh fruit and vegetable choices. Nutrition Services recognizes that nutrition education plays a major role in encouraging students to consume healthy foods. Our work this year will focus on serving line and salad bar signage, organizing a student nutrition advisory council, and continuing to work with the district's wellness committee. As always, the child nutrition program experiences ongoing change and is impacted by new legislation every year. One of the most recent legislative changes impacts the methods of accounting for meals. Senate Bill 138 went into effect on January 1st, 2018, requiring that any school with an identified student percentage at or above 62.5% utilize a provision such as the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP, to provide breakfast and lunch to all students attending the school at no charge and without the need to complete a meal application. In August 2018, 7 Roland schools participated in the CEP, including 5 elementary schools, Hurley, Northam, Roland, Via Corta, and Yorbita, and also Giano Intermediate and Santana High. The CEP program eased the application processing burdens, and the problem of recovering meal debt was nearly eliminated at the CEP schools. The Nutrition Services team was able to focus their efforts on supporting the district with the Education Benefits Survey, which draws the necessary information normally pulled for meal applications to support the LCFF. Due to the increase in the number of schools required to serve meals using a provision, the district has implemented the CEP at 3 additional schools for the 19-20 school year: Jellick Elementary, Rorimer Elementary, and Nogales High. Nutrition Services has continued to work collaboratively with the district team on the expansion of the CEP program, as well as communicating lessons learned during the 18-19 school year to support the collection of data for the LCFF. We will continue to evaluate the CEP throughout the school year and explore additional programs that could better serve students and their families. Nutrition Services looks forward to serving Roland Unified students during the 19-20 school year. Thank you.
Any questions? No?
I have.
Yes, David?
Just a comment. Mr. Flores was talking about the people in purchasing being behind the scenes that enable the job to get done. I kind of see dietary nutritional services as being behind the scene that support the teachers, because there's so much evidence out there that if a student has a good nutritional meal, that their behavior is better, they're less likely to fall asleep, they get better grades. And I kind of see you as being behind the scene, feeding our students so they can perform well in the classroom. And thank you for that.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes,
Angelina?
Just a comment. First of all, I have to say that I hate that I missed the traveling barbecue lunch. Next time, can you give us some locations? But I wanted to say that the one thing that I like that you guys have done is really focusing on introducing kids to new items and new foods, and especially with the fruit, because people like me sometimes need a little encouragement to try something new. And I think that with doing that with the kids at such a young age, especially at the elementary school level, and introducing them to those different items, then they start to see that some of these healthy options are good. And even though they may look different, you know, than what they're used to, maybe that'll help, you know, start a pattern in their eating, their lifestyle for healthy eating. So thank you guys for doing that. And the salad bars did look much better. I noticed that at the end of last year even. Okay. So thank you guys for your hard work.
Thank you.
Lynn? I want to thank you for implementing the share bins. Mm-hmm. I know when you first started with the meals, the board, almost all of us, complained about so much wasted food that was being thrown away, even full packages, milks and everything. But it makes good sense to be able to put them into a container where they can go to food banks and such. So thank you.
Thank you.
Carrie?
I have visited your facility several times. I can see so many meals you have to deliver to the school on time, and you can't miss any minute because the kids are hungry. So you have done such a great job in feeding those kids, and I just want to say thank you to you and your staff, everyone.
Thank you. And
you guys early come very, very early in the morning to prepare food. It's very hard. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything and adding more schools this year. That's terrific. So Dr. Mitchell told me that you guys have to get up really early and that maintenance starts work at 5:30 in the morning. Oh, my gosh. So she said to say that if the staff, you can be excused if you'd like, although you're welcome to stay, of course, if you want to. But we know that you work hard and we really appreciate it and we love seeing you. And thank you again on behalf of the board for all your hard work. You guys, can we give them another round of applause? Okay, Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments this evening? Please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not in the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Roy Humphreys.
There we go. Okay, thank you, and I'm Roy Humphreys. And something that all these meetings, whoever thanks the taxpayers who put up the bucks so you can do all of these nice things and so forth. So they're the forgotten ones. And also, on my YouTube channel, I defended the district here. There was a comment that the meeting was held for the Bond Oversight Committee in the echo chamber over here, and I said no. The district would never do anything to frustrate or obstruct the constituents' right to transparency. And just one small correction, the toilets weren't working. Okay, another item is that individuals, whether they be teachers, staff, or board, who find that the three monkeys syndrome is a racial slur, should be suspended without pay and sent to re-education until they get that straight. Another situation is the failure to comply by our administrative staff here with the California laws on documents provided upon request. And this is a violation of law, but it goes to the character that has prevailed here. And the same individual here had the audacity, the temerity, and the innate gall to implicate me in her white powder envelope caper to the FBI, which I find totally disgusting. And to the sheets that you have here for the next meeting here about the public comment on the sufficiency of school books. So how in the heck is anybody on this side supposed to have any comment on that? It's just an absurdity in itself. And I have a whole minute to go here. And so let me find something else here that we could go to. But I'll just leave it at that. So just concentrate on a few items there. And when you come in here and you look up and see those things about core values, how about adopting those as part of your standard approach?
Sharon Carrillo.
Good evening, Board of Education members, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, cabinet members, and all the folks in the audience this evening.
I just want to mention, can that be passed out now? Okay, thank you. Okay. I am here tonight to clarify some information regarding retirement under CalPERS and how it relates to CSEA's interest of an early retirement incentive for December 2019. Many classified employees are interested in an early retirement incentive. I will use the example of someone retiring on December 30th, 2019. For CalPERS purposes, this is considered your first year of retirement. The year 2020 is considered your second year of retirement. In 2021, this CalPERS member would then receive their first 2% cost of living adjustment. Now, if this same member retired on January 1st, 2020, this would be their first year of retirement. Their second year of retirement would be 2021. In 2022, this CalPERS member would then receive their first 2% cost of living adjustment. They are waiting an additional year to get their cost of living adjustment. You may think, is that it? That's the reason why it's best for classified employees to retire in December? Allow me to share some information with you. The average monthly school employee retirement is $1,688. That's the average. Based on that amount, a retiree's 2% cost of living adjustment would be an additional $33.76 per month, $405.12 per year. This would then bring their monthly retirement income to $1,721.76. At our recent CSEA annual conference, State Senator Connie Leyva shared the following story with us. A bill was being introduced by Senator John Morlock that would eliminate the cost of living increases for public employees, including CalPERS retirees. Senator Leyva said, "Who would do this? We agree. Who would do it?" It did not pass. Now, Senator Leyva's mother is a retired school employee. She retired after 35 years of service. She earns more than the monthly average on her retirement check. She earns $2,000. Not long after the bill. Okay.
Marco Maldonado.
Thank you. I will be continuing with Sharon Carrillo's prepared statements. Not long after the bill was introduced to eliminate the cost of living adjustment, Senator Leyva's mother called her and very excitedly told her that she was getting a $40 increase to her monthly retirement check. $40. I assure you, classified employees are not getting wealthy on their retirement income. CSEA did not make the rules regarding the best time for classified employees to retire. This is not a new guideline. We ask the Board of Education to reconsider allowing those classified employees that want to retire in December 2019 to do so. The district is insistent on the retirement incentive being included as one package with the other items of interest. The past incentive was done in December 2015 and was outside of negotiations. So yes, it can be done. We are here to urge you to do the right thing by classified employees. One of many options regarding the subject was to have two different retirement dates, one in December 2019 and one in June 2020. This is doable and would meet the interests of both CSEA and the district. This is also an opportunity to reorganize and save money, since we realize that not every position vacated by a retirement will be refilled. There will always be some disruption regardless of when classified employees retire. Is the first day of school better? Maybe the week before Thanksgiving? How about December? There is no perfect time. The fact still remains, the best time for classified employees to retire is in December. Why does the district want to deny us this? Classified employees are not feeling valued at Rolling Unified. It feels like classified employees are second-class citizens. Thank you.
We will move on to the discussion action items on the agenda. The first item is 6A, and we have a presentation. What? Okay. May I have a motion and a second to approve the educational specifications for the Stanley G. Oswald Academy new campus project?
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
Are there any questions or discussion?
Discussion.
Now we're going to do a presentation.
So I'll take this one. It's my pleasure this evening to have Betty Hansen here with us. And Betty Hansen specializes in educational programs, and she's an expert in educational specifications. One of the things she is going to be sharing with you are some of the ed specs that we are proposing for the Oswald Academy project for approval by the California Department of Education, which would maximize state funding for our project. And so Betty has a brief presentation she'll share, and then we will be able to answer any questions that the board has.
Greetings, board president, members of the board, staff, and superintendent, and the audience. Hello. Some people here have been very helpful in all of this, as you can tell. We spent a couple of years together. I want to just go real briefly on, I'm not very good at these things, but pardon me. The defining the ed spec is kind of like, I don't bring it home to you. If you were working on a house, defining it, designing it, you'd want to know what kind of roof you have, what kind of windows, what kind of locks, how you're going to lay it out. That's what a building specification is. Okay, thank you. Okay, and so when you take it to the educational specification, it's what our children need in the school. How are we going to design the school so that it's meaningful for the kids and it's functional, that it really works for them, and they benefit from that facility that we are designing. So that was our goal, to get this done. The approach, two things on the approach. We needed to put this in writing because we wanted to solidify what it is we were going to design, so the architect had something to walk away with, that everybody had something, that all these discussions we had it in writing. And the second reason we put it in writing and did these educational specifications, in order to get state funding, you know, everybody hears that, money, right? It's required by the California Department of Education when you're going to replace a school. So that's basically the second reason we did it, and it's a very important reason. We're hoping to go after bond money from a future bond in the state because the money is exhausted on the existing bond, but that's the other real reason we're doing this. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. I want to tell you that the people that were involved, this journey that we went through was phenomenal, and we had a principal that was really took a hold of it, the teachers took a hold of it, and they got involved, and they knew. And the reason I think this is an opportunity that didn't happen when you're just building a new school, when you're growing, you have a new housing development, the school comes up, and nobody gives much input. The reason this one was so valuable is that these folks that live there, they work there every day, the children that go there, they know what the mistakes were. They know we had a temporary school. It wasn't working in a lot of ways. And so I got an earful of what needed to be done. And a lot of people didn't agree. We had to go back and forth. And this ongoing process was just really motivating for everybody to get out what we wanted for our children. And then we had Alex there, who is keeping a budget on us and saying, oh, wait a minute, you've got this design, but we can't afford it. So we had to have a clamp on it. And so we had a district person watching over our head to make sure. And we kept redesigning until we thought we could get it pretty close to what the budget is. Okay, and then process of the learning environment developed. It was such a meaningful thing that we had a lot of discussion about different things. One of them, let's give you an example of, do we really need that big library with all those stacks of books? What's happening with kids now? They're all handheld things. Maybe we can utilize spaces in a different way. How do we make our kindergarten yards really conducive to the kindergarten program so it's safer and away from the driveway and all the parking and so on? How are we going to make safety and security because that's a big thing now in our schools. We know we've got to protect our kids a lot. So we really went through all of these to evolve into some really meaningful spaces. I got to tell you, the people that were involved were many more than this, but the teachers, our principal, the staff there, they came together. They were there. We heard from them. They gave us our input. The community, the parents were there. I don't know if I've ever done this process where I had so much input. And it was really hard to, you know, sort it all out and put it in writing. But it was very important. And then we had traffic. We have that. I sat there because our meetings would come right after school's out. I got to sit there and watch the traffic. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, you know, we had to really address that. And, of course, our architects were there pulling their hair out because they had to make this all into a design that made sense. And that was a real challenge. I laud them for that. Okay, let me go on. I'm kind of going rather fast through this because, you know, we could spend hours on it. But I just really feel it's important that you get a concept of what we did. Here are some of the things that we had to deal with. That site was one of the most difficult sites that I've had to work with. The shape of it, whew, straight up, you know. The size of it, whew, for the number of students. I mean, it's really quite small. And the topography going up and down and all around, it was a real challenge. And then we have environmental issues once built. We have sound issues for our neighbors. We have traffic issues we have to deal with. So those were some of the things that we had to take into consideration, that we just didn't have a little box that we got to, you know, design. That didn't work. Okay. And then the safety considerations spent a lot of time on here. We had consultants doing all kinds of different design features for us and working with the cities and the community people to make sure that we would have a design that minimized the traffic congestion. You're never going to get away from traffic congestion, and you know, two times a day in the school. But we did our best. We have to deal with the drop-off, how we park, and the flow of kids and the flow of cars, so that they don't get run over. I can tell you that I've experienced, I used to work for the Department of Ed, and there were some designs that we just did not approve because we knew that children, in backing up and going forward, we had to make sure that that worked. So we worked really hard on that. The playfields, important piece, because we have so little play area there. So it had to be efficient, and it was conducive to the upper grades, the middle grades, the younger grade, and then the kindergarten. So we worked a lot on that, too. And then we came up with, finally, we identified the administration, the multipurpose, the lunch shelter, you know, the classrooms, and we came up with about 80,000 square feet of building. We got about 1,000 kids we're going to educate in 34 classrooms, and we've got the redesign of the parking, the drop-off, and you're on your way. You've got, I mean, Alex told you, you've got some pre-design things going on, pre-construction. So that's good. You're in the state architect's office. We're going to take the plans to the Department of Ed now that you've approved the educational specifications, and we're on our way. And we'll file an application and just sit and wait in the state. That's the way it's going to work. So that concludes our little journey of educational specifications. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them.
I'm going to have Alex clarify some of the process as well to complement what Betty has shared.
One of the requirements for being able to get some of the state matching bond funds, as you know, we have our bond funds that we've allocated for this project. And working with Betty, she has identified a potential of $3 million that we could possibly qualify for from state bond funds. And she referred to a future state bond fund because, as you know, there's a lot of construction in the state of California. And when a bond comes up, it's usually already spent. And there was some discussion of a future state facilities bond that we would be able to try to receive $3 million of that matching of our funds. We have already secured our funds. We have our funds, but this would be for potentially for some future funds that are out there. So the approval today is of this is pretty much like a 30 to 40 page packet of just different specifications of classrooms, libraries, everything in a school, how it is. And that is, again, what they want to see and review to make sure if they're going to make an investment in a school in matching the funds, that it's one that meets the needs of our students in the state of California.
Angelina?
Alex has shared with us some visuals of the plans that have been developed, and I assume we're still on track with those plans that we saw before?
Yes, they're in the state architecture.
Those are the ones at DSA?
Yes, they're in DSA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're very, very pleased and very excited. Yeah. But the thing that I wanted to say, and we've said this to Mr. Flores before, is that we so much appreciate the parent and community involvement and the time that you guys actually took to really listen to them. This project has been a long time coming, and we're so excited that it's finally going to happen and that their voice was actually heard this time. And more than that, it was respected. So thank you for the time and effort that you put in to listening to the parents in the community and the students as well.
Lynn?
Excuse my stupidity, but I have a question. So this motion is to approve the education specification plans. What is that? Is that what's on this last page?
It's a 30-page document. Alex, do you have a copy of it? He's ready. Just pass it out. This is the product of the many meetings and months, years of input from community, staff, teachers, administration. This is what guided the architect to design the school that you have in the state architect's office right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Terry?
This is a K-8 school.
Yes.
The grade span is wide grade span from the little ones, really little, mm-hmm. from K, and some eighth graders big.
Right.
So when you design school, and I think that you put in consideration for facilities, of course, the little ones have, but there's some common places like library or bathroom, and how do you handle it? Because the little ones, the bathroom have been smaller,
right.
And the chairs are smaller.
Right.
Library too. So and also we consider when the recess time, do you want the little ones and big one mixed, or do you want the separate two, or how do you handle those? Yeah.
You know, I normally would have a staff person come and tell you about that, but I lived it with the staff. They shared with me how they manage it, and they would manage it, and we did a better job of addressing that very issue. We wanted the kindergarten kids are in an enclosed play field, and they will play only with their age-appropriate group. Then we have the primary area of a designated area where the kids will play. And Dr. Mitchell, you might want to add to this. And then the upper grades then have a different play area and different activities that are age appropriate to them so that they can gain from the development of the use of the play fields, the different equipment, the different kind of fields that they have. So that's how we were able to do that. And then as far as using the media center, that becomes a scheduling issue that principals do to ensure that when the kindergarten kids visit the library, they benefit from it, that it's useful for them. But they would have a different time when the upper grades would come to the library. So it's a masterminding of scheduling to do that. But it's they've been doing it quite well in very restrictive type facilities, and so now we have, I think, a better design that will help it function much better now in the future, the new school.
And if I can share about design, and I apologize to the board because this is, it might be a little backwards. We did the ed specs because we want to build the best school possible for Oswald. This action that we take tonight is just so that we can apply to be in line for state funding. This that we did was to make sure we got the input from the community, from the staff, and I do have to compliment Kevin for the fantastic work that he did as a principal at that time, to make sure everyone's voice was heard. The DSA plans that are being approved at this time reflect this plan so that we heard what the community needs, what our teachers need, what our students need, and we develop, the architect takes that as their roadmap to say, let's go and build to meet the needs. Let's not build and then you make it fit for you.
Right.
Let's build it to fit the needs for that school. And so that's why we've heard about the aspects before, but the action tonight is basically so that the requirement, unfortunately, as Betty said, to check the box off for the state to verify that we have plans that are going to meet the needs of our students.
Any other questions? Lynn?
It has to be voted on tonight?
Yes.
Because we're just seeing it now. I remember seeing it before. I'd like
right.
some time to
I was going
to
ask for a vote next.
So if the board is not would prefer to wait and push this to our September meeting, it is not time sensitive to do so. I mean, we can push it. The only hindrance is that it delays the opportunity for us to get in line at the state, but 1 month is not going to make a significant difference in that line. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, because okay. we'll not be able to get in line until we have state architect approval and Department of Ed approval, so yes.
I personally would like some time to read it since I'm voting on it. So I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but.
I'm just looking through the document right now. Most of it's, I don't want to say generic, but it just basically is general about code and stuff. I looked at one, I zeroed in on one thing on page 20, which is student restrooms, because that was an issue in the past. That doesn't say, you know, how many restrooms, just one on each floor.
Well, the reason this is maintains a standard generic.
Right.
You can't make it too specific because then it doesn't give you any guidance in what you want to do in the design. The designs of the school, the plans that you approved, I assumed already, on the school are really the specificity that is reflected in what we try to emit in this written document.
That's what I'm thinking, that this written document's more of a framework.
Yes,
whereas
got
the plans
it.
Are the
right.
Are
the
that's
specifics.
Correct.
And really, truly, the educational specification is a process, and right. that's the thing that this school district was successful, I think, in doing it. Not just writing a document. I can tell you there are plenty of school districts when they do a new school. They just hire a consultant. They say, write the specs. And that is not the purpose. The purpose was to get the group involved and hear them and then put in writing some basic, very basic standards. But then the architect can take that along with all that he heard in these meetings and put it in a plan that we can build. And that was the important thing. The important thing is the process, not just the product.
Right, right. And I remember when, excuse me, when they showed the plans, that the bus route for dropping off and picking up students was an issue. They were trying to separate it into that other parking lot. Mm-hmm. I assume that was resolved.
It was discussed and resolved, and that's why the traffic consultant was part of the Ed Specs mm-hmm. committee also to discuss the impact of the traffic to design mm-hmm. and to minimize that.
Right.
And on this one page, on page 6.
The involvement, yes.
Right. I don't see students.
We have.
I assume they were involved.
We did have students. Yes, we did.
I assume they do.
Yeah, yes. I should have put that in there. My apologies.
Thank you.
Yes.
So really, it's the pleasure of the board. If this is something you'd like for us to table and bring back at our September meeting, we can do that. The plans that have been submitted to DSA have taken all of these ed specs into consideration. The plans were drawn up around these ed specs. And so, like Alex had said, this is coming later. The plans will not be changed because the plans have been approved by the board and are already going through DSA. But it is not a problem for us to delay.
I think we just did what they needed to see, it sounds like, you know, and we filled in the blanks, like you said, generic. And so I think it would be okay to vote personally.
Well, all of these specifications for the rooms, square footage and all that came from the plans.
No. Well, they're recommended, yes. They're pretty close, but there's some variances. But it was when you're working through plans, you can't always be exactly the square footage. But you want to try to meet that standard to some extent, the best you can. That's basically what we recommend.
How do other people feel? You're okay?
I'm okay with it.
Yes? Okay. Any
I'm
other discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
I'm going to abstain because I don't have enough information.
Okay, and one abstention. Okay, motion passes. The next item is 6B. May I have a motion and a second to review Jay Chun's appointment to the CBOC for a 2-year term in compliance with the CBOC bylaws?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6C. May I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution for compensation for board member Carrie Chen?
I move.
Second.
Are there any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain. Any abstentions? One abstention. Okay, and motion carries. Consent calendar. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all of the items in consent with the exception of any items pulled for separate discussion and action. May I have a motion and a second?
Make a motion.
I'll second.
Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Gosh, I should have been ready.
Next, we have a notice of an upcoming public hearing on sufficiency of instructional materials. Each year, the Roland Unified School District Board of Education holds a public hearing before the end of the 8th week from the first day pupils attend school. At this public hearing, and governing board makes a determination as to whether each pupil in each school has sufficient textbooks or instructional materials, or both, that are aligned to the content standards and are consistent with the content and cycles of the curriculum framework adopted by the State Board of Education in reading, language arts, mathematics, science, and history, social science. The definition of sufficiency provides that each pupil, including each English language learner, must have a standards-aligned textbook or instructional materials, or both, to use in class and to take home. Roland Unified will hold its public hearing on September 12, 2019. The board resolution will then be forwarded to the county office. We are now on the board member comments. We will start with David this evening.
Oh, geez. I get ready here. First, I just want to repeat again a big thank you to Administrative Services for their hard work during the summer break to perform the necessary work to keep our infrastructure top-notch in our district. It's very appreciative that they put all that work in. Also, a big thank you to our certificated staff who gave up some of their summertime to continue to be lifelong learners. I follow them on Tweet, and I see a lot of them are going to school and going to seminars and taking classes during their summer break also. I want to thank Gina Ward, Brandy, and Miriam for the welcome back that we had. It was a big success. Without the three of you, you know, helping coordinate that, as well as other people in the background, it was great. Audio, visual, technology, everybody, really was a big success. I went to Operation Fresh Start, and it was a nice success seeing our students get what's needed as far as school supplies and clothing to get to start the school year off. One of our Kiwanis members was there volunteering, and she was assigned to boys' underwear, which was an experience for her. She has a young little daughter. She didn't know how to handle it, but it was a fun day spending it there at the Family Resource Center. Also yesterday, I was over at Villa Corta, for the Suchi food distribution. We had 180 families come by to collect food for the month. And there was a little confusion because it wasn't on the normal day. Normally, we give out about 250 to 275 families, but we were at 180. But I think part of that was due to the change in the day that had occurred. And I want to thank all the volunteers that come out to that. We have a lot of community volunteers. Suburban Water is a big supporter of that. They send a lot of people. The Lions Club, the PTA had people there yesterday. Kaiser Permanente's been there in the past. It goes on. ARE is there helping out. And It's really been great seeing all the people that come out. Our CSEA members are there. So it really it's heartwarming to see the number of people we have in our district that are dependent on this food distribution for the month to have food to provide their families. And the students that were recognized at the beginning, that was, I became aware of that about a month ago, I think it was, in a letter, maybe 2 months ago. And I was really impressed that we had students going to all these foreign countries. And I see them as being ambassadors for Rowland Unified School District. And one reason I ask that they be recognized here, because I think it's important that we branch out just beyond our district. And when we can go overseas and let people know what our school district's doing and then have a learning exchange going on, I think it's the best learning that our students can have. So I'm really happy that we were able to recognize them tonight. And I look forward to another exciting year of growth and future and continued success. Thank you.
Carrie?
We had a very successful welcome back event. I want to say thank you to Dr. Mitchell and Gina and Miriam and everyone organized the put the event together. And we can feel the morale in the whole room, the huge room, and so many teachers and employees, everyone there. And just like I feel like a New Year party because it's a New Year, a new school year. It's a New Year party. So everyone's so happy because our employees don't see each other very often. Some of them, they don't even in the same campus. They don't have time to chat, communicate, to say, to meet. And there's an opportunity for the everyone can meet the employees from the other schools too. So that's a good opportunity for them to meet each other and to talk. So that's great, and we continue the tradition year by year. And there's a very good start for the school year. Yeah, thank you. And the students are sent to overseas. I think that's a very significant thing to do because 21st century going to overseas and traveling the world is not a luxury anymore. And the people right now, transportation communication is very easy, so people can meet the people from other countries very easy. Then we can when our kids grow up and working in the start working, and we'll meet people from all over the country. So meeting people over at other countries is very helpful for them to for their future. So I think we can continue doing that to send more kids to overseas. That's good. Also, I want to thank the building services and everyone working this summer. And again, it was a hot summer, and I can feel the hot. And this summer, I was I take kids to Rowland High School swimming every day, so again, dark skin and in the 2 weeks, and I can feel so hard for them. For the people working through the summer under the sun, and also I have an announcement for Rowland High Chinese Association. Every year, Rowland High Chinese Association honor the community leaders, community service. The people that contribute to the community every year in September, and this year we are going to honor Forest Foundation for the contribution they've done to the community and to the district. The event is going to be on September 7th, and again we're going to have it in the banquet room at Lobster Bay Restaurant at the intersection of Nogales and in the Levin Court. And there's a restaurant there,
And we're going to honor the Supe and Albert for the work they have done, and the Forest Foundation, and other community leaders too. We honor them at night. So that's our Ronan High Chinese Association event. So we have tickets available. So if anyone interested to join us in the celebration, and you're welcome to come to see me and get a ticket for the night. Okay, thank you.
Lynn?
Thank you, Madam President. I'm looking forward to a positive and productive year this year, just like all the other board members. But, you know, with so many bad things in the news about students, schools, and teachers every day, I'd like to take a minute to remind everyone how well Roland's graduating class, Roland Unified's graduating class of 2018 did. Did you read about that in the news? Did the news tell you that our students earned over $7.5 million in scholarships? Did you read that how many student lives are touched and actually changed because the district has positive and meaningful impact on them? Did you read or see anything about the students graduating who were the first college bound in their families? At a time when our district is trying to provide everything possible for our students and help teachers, the negatives and criticisms keep coming. When I focus on some of the comments I hear at our board meetings, such as criticism about the board, employees, and other things that people think they know about, that bothers me. Sometimes incoherent messages lead the public to believe untruths about our school district. Well, I'm proud of this district and our leadership team, our schools, our students, and our employees. We're not perfect, but we can work together, and we're doing better, much better. You see, I remember about 5.5 years ago when I first came onto this board. This district was full of mistrust, and the morale was at the bottom. Well, we've come a long way, and I don't expect to see us slip back. Just think about it. A lot of you have been here a long time. Board, it's up to us to realize that tough decisions will need to be made. One of my biggest concerns is how the state steadily adds classes required for graduation of our students, and more are coming. Most do not improve academia. They are strictly political, and I am personally sick of it. We have already seen some of them, so buckle up. Do we want to add unnecessary burdens to our students, teachers, and district by adding classes? Let's face it, the school district only has so many hours, and we can't keep fitting more things in. I want to thank the whole team, including the IT department, Dr. Mitchell, Gina Ward, and others, for putting on a fabulous welcome back event. It was wonderful seeing all the excited employees under one roof, ready to go and greet the new school year, and also the bright, eager faces that are coming to them as our students. So thank you for that, Dr. Mitchell.
Angelina?
Again, I want to thank everyone, the facilities, fiscal services, accounts payable, everyone from behind the scenes, again, for working so hard this summer to make sure that everything was ready to go back. Also, as Mr. Malkin mentioned, want to thank all of our classified staff and certificated staff who took the time to participate in professional development activities over the summer to enhance their learning and benefit the district in the end. It's also good to see our unions here tonight, some of our union members here tonight. Thank you guys for being here. And I'm looking forward to back to school nights and open house are my two favorite activities of the year. So I'm looking forward to back to school nights and being able to go and visit some of the schools. And I have welcome back. It's always nice to go to that event, even though I usually have in the same event at Mount Sac on the same day. But it's nice to be there, especially during the social time, just to be able to see so many faces that I don't get to see on a regular basis. Or when I see them, they're busy teaching or working, and I can only say hi and give a quick hug and have to walk away. But to be able to catch up with some of those people and see how things are going for them is just really fantastic. I was excited to see our students here again tonight to give their reports. That's one of my favorite parts of board meetings. And I can attest to what the Nogales rep said. The band does practice in the morning. And at night, too. And following in Ms. Ebenkamp's footsteps from her statement, I also would like to say something. And, you know, when we go to the Welcome Back, it's such a nice event because it signifies a new beginning. The school year is a new beginning. And with all of the hate and pain and violence that and ugliness that we've been seeing in the news lately, I think that we have an opportunity to make a difference. So as we start a new school year, I want to challenge each one of you to give someone a smile each day, a kind word, a nice act. I know that we all get busy in our day-to-day schedules, and sometimes it's just walking by and grunting out, hey, good to see you, or whatever. But take the time to just give someone a smile or a pat on the back or anything. And I think that if our students see us doing that for one another, that they will also start to do that for each other. So we have the opportunity to be the change agents in that arena and demonstrate some positive behavior for our students and maybe just impact somebody's life who really needed to see that, and then they can show that same kindness to someone else at this end during the school year. So I challenge each one of you to do that. I'm going to practice it myself at work and when I'm out and about in the community. And I just want to say that I think that, you know, the spirit of RUSD is alive and well and moving forward. I always talk about that train moving forward, and people who don't want to be on it can just get off. And but we're not stopping. You have to jump. So, but I wish all of you a very wonderful school year, and I look forward to seeing more great things from each and every one of you.
Okay, first I'd like to say thank you all for being here and staying throughout the whole board meeting. Very nice. Everyone has busy schedules. Shay, thank you for telling us about ARRE, CTA, and everything else. Alex and Maria, your reports were very informative. I wanted to mention for building services that we approved the completion of work for removal and disposal and repaving at three schools, which Alex told us, 80,000 square feet, Hollingworth, 72,000 Jellic, 11,000 Via Corta, but I really liked your football field better. That gave you a good idea, like there was a lot. I think it seems like it would be more. Building Services oversees these projects, and they turned out so great. Thank you again for all your hard work in Building Services to make our schools look fantastic, including what you were mentioning, the painting, fencing, air conditioning installed, the custodians that do deep cleaning all summer long to make the schools look perfect. And it wouldn't be possible without the community for passing Measure R. So thank you. On the consent calendar, we approved a subcontract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Rancho Santiago Community College, which will improve career pathways for all students and so much more. The musical instruments distribution, this was held at the RIC. Rebecca walked me around as if I was a parent. It was so organized. There were four stations for parents to go through. 400 instruments were given out, and when I visited, they had 191 more to go, but I saw like 10 kids already come with their parents, so that was 10 more. Transportation department helped by providing shade to families. Rebecca and Maria organized it. There were so many volunteers. It was great. The new teachers meeting, there were over 30 new teachers that were in attendance. There were 45 program specialists, instructional coaches that planned, organized, and facilitated the new teacher orientation. Alice gave a speech about how we care about them and more. It was very nice for me to welcome the new teachers on behalf of the board, saying welcome to the Roland family. The welcome back, this was amazing to see everyone back to school and socializing. I love seeing the same colored shirts by some of the schools. Our speaker was outstanding. Julie's message was wonderful like usual. What a great time for everyone. And lastly, about the graduate banners that are all around the community, I just want to say how nice it is to see so many Roland Unified School District graduates up on the poles around our neighborhoods. My friends are telling me all about them. It makes me feel so proud to be part of Roland Unified School District. What a nice way to recognize our graduates. Thank you. And we do not need to return to closed session. So may I have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education.
I make a motion.
A second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned at 8 o'clock p.m. Yeah.